Blog Talk Radio.
W. Jones Sr. right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad and literally elated to be with you. This is yet another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. I will. You should. Come on, let's do it together. Literally, for real, seriously. Give him a hallelujah praise. Rejoice and be glad in it. There's rain coming down for most of us. It is the spring season of life. They said that April showers brought May flowers, but for some reason the calendar keeps drifting. So if we get rain, whatever month we get it in, we need to be grateful and honoring of the King for such rain. That means wherever water will be put, listen closely, the earth will respond and produce whatever's been planted in it. So before you complain, you Floridians, about getting rain, don't you complain. You better bless Yahweh for it. For you start to complain, you baseball and football and basketball players, because you can't get outside and play on your courts. You better give Yahweh thanks, because if it's not for him and the rain that we would get, we would not have life on earth. Why is that important? Because he is the water. That's right. He is the water, that if we drink of this water, he is the reason for water. We will never thirst again. So every time I see rain, I think about him providing life-sustaining element. That's true. It's a very important thing to comprehend and embrace. Well, we got to get a lot done today. I only got a few minutes to get this straight. I want to say this to all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful women who have born and put forth children, those who have actually carried children and lost the children in their stages before. We have those who've carried term and lost those children. You are still classified as mothers. You are mothers who have lost. But we do say happy belated Mother's Day to all of those wonderful ladies who, without you all, literally, we men probably wouldn't even exist. Well, Yahweh makes a way to make things happen. But we honor Yahweh for every mother who is mothering on the planet. And we bless Yahweh for you. If you're in Sri Lanka, those of you that are listening to us over there, those of you that are in Jamaica and the Caribbean, we bless Yahweh for you. Happy Mother's Day, belated to you all, to my biological family and nieces and nephews, nieces and sisters and mother and grandmother who's still alive. We also shout out to you all, and we pray that you had a wonderful day. I know we did some things. I'm hoping that they've been enjoyable for you as well. And to all of those that are out there that we've talked to on Sunday and those that we've shouted out, text out to, we hope that you did have a day, that the life of you was celebrated and not tolerated, but literally celebrated. You as women take the place of so many people on the planet. And I want to say this from my heart. You do. I've watched mothers transform and morph into so many necessary components in the lives of the children that they bear and even in their communities as well as in their church fellowships. We turn into everything that's needed. A super mom is really an understatement for the average mother. And I say this again with great compassion. I say this with great conviction. We honor you for what you do. You are a element that cannot be explained. It's easier to explain a man than it is a woman, and then it's even more difficult to explain a woman who is a mother. We love you. We appreciate you, and we don't always show it to you. Men that you've encountered don't see you as mothers until they've had your womb to bear their children, and then we still don't make it right. But I want you to know that as a woman, I study this, and you are a universe all to yourself. Happy belated Mother's Day. I hope that you've been honored by those who say they love you. Well, I got a great broadcast for you today. We want to talk some about in him, life in him. We want to get into that from part number two. Actually, we talked about part number two on last Wednesday, so this Monday we want to complete with part three. Those things that are necessary to understand about what it means to be in him. In him we live, in him we move, in him we should and ought to have our being. So grab your Bibles with me very quickly, and I want you to tell your neighbors and your friends, your cousins and your aunties, your relatives, and all those across the hallway from you, and your pastor, your leaders, grab your Bible study teacher. Go, that's right, get your Sunday school teacher. Get them, call them up on the line. Get your pastor. Tell them that the proceeding word is on the air. Tell her the proceeding word is on the air. I don't care, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, bishop, overseer, magnificent, your grace, eminence, all them great, wonderful titles. Get them on the line. Let them know the proceeding word is on the air. And then tell them, say, apostle, bishop, right rev, prelate, magnificent, elder, evangelist, pastor, prophet, come here. You're going to learn today. Yeah, we said it. We mean it. We're going to get into the word real quick here, but I want you to go let somebody know. Inbox them, text them, tweet them, whatever you got to do. The proceeding word is on the air. Well, let's open up our Bibles and get into a piece here that's going to be very significant. And we find it in John chapter number 14. Now, I posed the question to many to ask, what did Yeshua really mean when he made the statement that he, in fact, is who he is? Let's look at what he says in the book of John, chapter number 14, verses 5. Let's just look at that. He says, Thomas says unto him, Yahweh, or Adonai, rather, or Messiah, we know not where you're going, for you said that we should not trouble our hearts, where you're going to go and build us a place. Let's go back to verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. We'll just do that. I'll read down to verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in Elohim, believe also in me. In my Father's, in Yahweh's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you
unto myself that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, where I'm about to go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas looked up, puzzled and bewildered, and had a look on his face, and he said, Messiah, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? Yeshua said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. See, no man comes unto Yahweh but by me. So if you had known me, if you really understand me and what I represent, if you really embrace the reality of why I exist on the earth, you should have known my Father, Yahweh, your Father. And from this point forward, after having said this to you, you will know him, more importantly, by looking at me. From this day forward, you have now seen him. Now, it was interesting because Philip, just like Thomas, I mean, these are great guys, good guys, and they say, wait, Yeshua, wait a minute. He says, well, if you show us the Father, it will be sufficient for us. We will suffice that. Yeshua looked at Philip, I believe, with a sigh. Then he opens his mouth and he says, have I been with you so long a time that you still don't know me, Philip? Listen, he that hath seen me, you have seen the Father. And how are you saying then, show us the Father? Verse 10, he says, believe thou not that I am, listen, in the Father, and the Father is in me. Do you not believe that? That's what verse 10 is saying. Do you, Philip? Do you, Thomas? Do you not believe who I am? Do you not know? I've been with you so long. Are you not aware that I represent the Father in the earth? And if you do believe that, you are looking at the Father, because when you look upon me, you don't see me as Yeshua. You see me as the one sent into the earthen realm to help you learn how to walk in your flesh suit. The will of the Father, because I only do the will of him that sent me. So if you see me and the works that I do, you are looking at the Father. So please, how long have I been with you? How much longer do I have to teach this lesson, this message to you? What is it going to take for you to embrace and understand who I am? Verse 10, John 14 states, believe thou not that I am in the Father? And more importantly, that the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of my own words. I don't speak of myself. But I speak of the Father who dwells in me. He it is that does the works. Believe me. Believe me. I am in the Father. And the Father, Yahweh, is in me. If you won't believe what I'm telling you by word, then at least believe me for the very works that you've seen me perform and do. Of a truth, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I've got to go back to the Father and leave this upon you. Whoever believes in me, whoever believes that I am in Yahweh and Yahweh is in me, I will be able to leave that mantle with you and the works you've seen me do with your own eyes. Greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I can't be here the whole time. I got to get back to the Father, but I can't leave here unless I've given you everything you need to know about the Father. And I am that representative. And when you see me and you see the works I do, you are seeing the Father in full manifestation. Please believe that. Don't misunderstand that. Believe it. So what does it mean to have life in Messiah? Well, it's interesting. It's intriguing because many of the times we don't really embrace how our life in him can actually change. We've been taught in the church that, well, when you come to church, you know, old things in your life are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. So some have made the erroneous statement to indict when we, in fact, get saved, that everything is going to be all right. I want to just make sure we're clear, just give a reality check, that everything doesn't just become all right, but everything has the potential to be all right. Mm-hmm. I said potential because faith without works is dead. Now, there are many things in our lives that we've done, we do, we function as, we've tried to bring ourselves into some idea of what the kingdom should look like in the earth. And so we hope, we have this expectation that if I get saved and I do what I'm supposed to do, that Elohim is going to do something in my life and something in my soul. But here's the catch and what I need you to really embrace, and that is this, that until we become obedient unto our fleshly death, like Yeshua became obedient to his fleshly death, and allow for Messiah, or allow for Adonai, the word of God, to increase in us, we are never going to see the potential of all things working together for our good. Now, John the Baptist, Yohanan, he is the one that came before Yeshua was made manifest for ministry. But look at what he does. If you pay close attention to this, it's really indicting. Yeshua comes to the place where John, Yohanan, is baptizing. He then says, John, to the people that he's baptizing, "Ah, oh my goodness, behold the Lamb of Elohim." And everyone looks at Yeshua, and he then begins to say, I'm not even worthy to latch your shoes. And Yeshua tells him, "No, I need you to finish the prophecy, baptize me, because it's prescribed that I'm going to come and meet you, and you are going to baptize me, and my work will begin. So please, I can't baptize you. You have to baptize me." Truth is, now this is deep for you theologians. Say sidebar. Come on. Will you say sidebar, please? Thank you. Took you off. Just say a sidebar. You know I'm going to give you something good. You're going to learn today. Listen to this and watch this closely. Y'all, this is so good. You know, Yohanan didn't realize that Yeshua already baptized him. Yeah, he really did. Listen, remember when Yeshua was not even out of the womb of Miriam, his mother, and Yohanan was 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother? Pay attention, theologians. This is deep. And so while Miriam is in transit to Elizabeth because she is being sort of communicated from her community in lieu of the rumors of her not having been kept whole and being a virgin, and they don't know how she got pregnant, yada, yada. So she runs off to where Miriam or Elizabeth now lives. And as she goes out to where Elizabeth now lives, there's a process that begins to develop and happen. And she runs into Elizabeth, her cousin. Elizabeth is carrying Yohanan, John, in her womb. The Bible declares that when Yochanan senses, can't see because he's in the womb of Elizabeth, he can't see, but he knows that Adonai is in his very midst. And the Bible declares he leaps in the womb. Now, here's where y'all going to get deep, but here's what y'all want you to look at. When you are in any term of pregnancy, as a child entering into this realm of the world, you are in water. It's called an amniotic sac. Inside that amniotic sac, I don't have to explain this to the mothers, but most men, we a little slow about this part of biology. So let me just bring us up to speed. In the amniotic sac, you are kept and preserved, and it is literally water. Thus the term when time for pregnancy happens and the baby's really due to leave the body, the water breaks. And it is a very unique mixture, but it is primarily water. And this is life-sustaining water. So let's talk about Yochanan's missing the point here. When Yeshua comes to the Jordan, John never met him, but he looks and says, behold. Now, when in fact John never met Yeshua while they were in the womb, he knows the Spirit in Yeshua. And he says, behold, the Lamb of Elohim. It happens again. It happens first in the womb. Now, what's the significance, Apostle? You're taking me all around the mountaintop to bring me here. Listen, listen, because it's going to get real good and deep. When, in fact, Yochanan, John, in Elizabeth, and Yeshua, still in the womb of Miriam, meet at Elizabeth's home, Yochanan, John, leap in the womb. Well, what's he leaping? He's leaping in the water. So Yeshua technically, or Adonai technically, baptizes Yochanan in the womb of Elizabeth, for it was the water. And the only child that has this testimony, this is where he was baptized of Yeshua, so that he could baptize him in the natural realm. Well, we're talking about some great and dynamic things. I hope that you're learning. I really do, because you're going to learn today. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick moment and come right back after this beautiful, beautiful opportunity to embrace some announcements that you will need to know. Hope that you'll listen and don't go anywhere.
Remember, stay tuned in right here on blogtalkradio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle B.W. Jones Sr. on The Proceeding Word. Want to learn more? Need a church home? Join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for dynamic teachings in and through the Word. You can also join us, if you can't be here physically, on Ustream. That is the letter ustream.tv/Apostle B.W. Jones. We hope to see you then. Until we meet, Shalom.
In your name that I shall walk the your name that I shall not compromise, and everything I decree shall be mine. I have a mercy in your name, yeah, in your name, your name, send your name. Win a soul. It's in your name that your words shall never wax cold. I have authority in your name.
It's in his name, isn't it? That we worship, it's in his name that we praise, and we bless the Lord our God for all that he has done and does towards us and for us. Well, we got to get right back to our broadcast here. I hope that you enjoyed that little break, because it is something that you really need to make as a decree in your life. It is in his name that we worship. It is in his name we obey. It is in his name we give praise. Watch this. It's important, because it is the name of Yahweh that becomes your strong tower. That's why in his name. That's where we talk about life in him. When we are in him, we are supposed to be able to live.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to be able to move. And more importantly, when we're in him, we have life. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. So let's talk about what Yeshua meant out of John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto Yahweh but by me. Listen, it's so important to re-embrace or to realize and embrace that what Yeshua does is he gives us access that Adam had lost. He gives us back the access that Adam did not realize belonged to him. Now, we gave away something Adam did when he ate of the fruit, meaning he was disobedient. He did not obey. He did not worship Yahweh. And therefore, he worshiped and gave way to his own lust and or desire. Now, Yeshua comes back to make sure that you and I don't find ourselves in the predicament that we do us rather than do him. And this is very key. This is so significant. This is so important that Yeshua worships the Father. So that's why he tells the disciples here in John chapter 14, as we begin to allude,
he tells the disciples, both Thomas, they're like, okay, guys, I'm sitting here with you for all these years. You've seen the works that have been done. How long do I have to be with you before you realize you're not looking at the flesh suit you think you see? Yes, see Yeshua. Yes, you see me. And for those of you who don't know Yeshua, Jesus, that's his name. You see me, but don't get twisted in what I am. Don't confuse what you're looking at with what you see. And what you're looking at is the work of the Father in the body he prepared. Now, many of you know that I teach this rather exclusively and very exhaustively, that Yeshua is just a body prepared.
How dare you talk about my Savior like that? He's God Almighty.
No, Yeshua isn't God Almighty. He is the body that God Almighty lived in order to show his creation how to function by his intention. I know that raises a lot of eyebrows and people think that I'm crazy and it goes into another vein, but when you understand this, your relationship with Elohim becomes so much more the solidified. Yeah, let me show you what I mean. Go to Psalms chapter 119. Go to Psalms 91. Thank you, Ruach HaKadosh. I want to show you something. When you understand who he is, there are so many things that happen on your behalf that you really need to embrace. And you keep hearing me say embrace because if we don't take this into us, it can never be for us. Yeah, it's deep. Mm-hmm. Whosoever will, let him come. Look at this. I told you because of who he is, you have to realize he's talking to his disciples in chapter 14, verse 6. He's talking to Thomas. He's talking to Philip. He's talking to the disciples in general. But he's addressing the questions that all the disciples really had. They say, show us the Father. Show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that'll suffice us. And Thomas is like, well, how are we going to know where you're going? What do you mean we're going to know where you go? We don't know where you're going. I see you sitting in front of me. What do you mean you're going? How are you going to, I don't even know. We don't know the way. He's like, guys, I am the way. I am the truth, and what I've told you, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you may be also. So I want you to be in me when I get there. Look at this. Psalms chapter 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he's my refuge and my fortress. He's my God, my Elohim. In him will I trust. Surely he's going to deliver me from the snare of the fowler. He's going to cover his feathers, verse 5, and not going to be afraid for the terror by night, verse 6, nor the pestilence that walks in day, verse 7, 1,000 going to fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. I said all that in one breath. Okay, verse 8 says, only with thine eyes, listen, shalt thou behold the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, El Elyon, we have made him our habitation, our place of dwelling. Listen, there in that place shall no evil, see, you thought it was because I made him my habitation, that there shall no thing mess with us, or there shall no thing befall us. No evil shall befall us. But the truth is, when you look at this in its proper context, you got to really watch this. What he's saying is, there shall no evil. There shall no evil. Listen, it's in him where no evil befalls you. Not because you have knowledge of him. I'm going to say this again. I know my theologians out there, your wheels are clicking and you're saying this is unnecessary, but watch the breakdown. And for those of you who are novices in the word and are learning through these broadcasts, you're going to learn something right now in this segment. Please, 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 please just pay close attention. Look at this. He says in verse number 8, only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, which is your refuge, even Yahweh who is the Most High, you made him your place of dwelling. That's what verse 9 means. There. There's no comma there, but it should be. There. What? In that habitation. There, where El Elyon and your refuge are. In in him. It goes back to verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is what we're talking about. So it's in that place. So when he says in verse 10, there shall no evil befall him, neither shall any plague come nigh his dwelling, because his dwelling can't have, listen, y'all understand what this is? When you read verse 10, it states, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Well, where is your dwelling? Verse 1, you're now dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You're not dwelling at your house. See, in the natural, it might be your house, but when you, as the head of your house, begin to honor Elohim and begin to honor the work that Messiah has done and put yourself in that faith, your whole natural realm is elevated into a spiritual realm that becomes, listen, the secret place. So it is in him. Everything you have, when you place it in him, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Why? Because your dwelling is no longer your dwelling. It is his dwelling. And you and all that you have are in his secret place. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. See? So everything that you have when you dwell in him becomes your dwelling space. Watch this. There shall no evil befall you. Where is there? There is his habitation. There is when you make Yahweh the Lord of your home. As Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve Elohim, in that his home became the place that Yahweh is speaking about in verse 1, the secret place of the Most High. It's in him. So life in him makes us free from any evil. Because you know what? In the place of Elohim, evil can't befall you. Evil will be present, but evil has no authority where Elohim is. Now, people say, Apostle, all right, that's, you know what, you know, come on, man, that's just too, you're trying to be all deep, like you learned some great, just pay attention for another second. We're going to open your brain and then let you see into the spirit. Watch this. We've always read this passage that says, 1,000 shall fall at your feet, 10,000 at your right hand, and but it shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, and even the Most High your habitation. Therefore, no evil is going to befall you. Therefore, it's not therefore. That's not what that means. And we're saying it like, okay, because you do this, ain't no evil going to befall you. Because you do this, ain't no good. You dwell in the Spirit of God, and he's going to, you know, he ain't going to let nothing bother you. Listen, it is true in principle, but look at it in practicality. You have to be in him, because only in him can no evil befall. To befall you means fall upon you. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, and in the Torah, it indicates that when someone fell upon another person, it meant they slew them, they killed them. So befalling means come upon you to kill you, come upon you to slay you. See, when you are in life, death can't bother you. That's so deep. That is so deep. Now, maybe some of you have questions out there today, and I want to make sure you get an opportunity to express those questions. So please feel free to reach us right here at 718-506-1558. But I want you to really embrace what we are discussing concerning what it means to live in him, life in him, part three. Because when we read the word, we have to read the word rightly. We have to read the word. That's why Paul was trying to tell us. Paul was such a dynamic student of the word. It blows my mind how, really, the more I read about him, the more I study him, his character, his nature, what he's accomplished, how dynamically intertwined with the word this man was. And we look at it from such a shallowed perch. We look at it from a very thin topical layer of understanding. When Paul is taking us into a deeper place, he says, listen, study to show yourself approved. Become a workman of the word. Work the word that you've studied. That's so deep. Work the word that you've studied. Many of us study the word to preach the word, but very few of us study the word to live the word. Yeah, your hair should have stood on your head. Because what we do is we study the word so we can have something to say to people, because we go to church and our church believe this, so our pastor said this, so we're going to study what he just told us, and then we're going to teach it to other people. But the only way Paul was really saying to study to show yourself approved is to study the word, to deal with your propensities, to deal with your proclivities, to deal with your shortcomings, to deal with your reaction and maturity when you are having success hit you and come upon you. He is saying, study to show yourself approved so that you can be proven as a workman of the word, one who can rightly divide the word of truth. And so when you begin to work what you're studying, you don't have to preach and try to speak to people, because they see what you live. Paul was telling them, study to show yourself approved. King David really is where Paul took this from. King David made this statement in Psalms 119. He says, Yahweh, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Meaning, I am going to put what I've learned of you and what I've studied of your Torah about my last situation so neatly tucked away in my heart that whenever that familiar situation comes up again, before I respond, before I react, I will be able to pull out that testimony and do according to the testimony and not to what I'm feeling. See, he also gets this, watch this closely, he also gets the same concept from, or he passes, David passes it on to Solomon. We've been quoting the passage all of our life through our church. The passage states, Proverbs chapter 3, son, incline thine ear. But he goes on to tell him, he says, acknowledge Elohim and his writ. Acknowledge his rules, his words of guidance. Acknowledge him in all of your words. No. In all of your thoughts? No. In all of your ways. Matter of fact, he goes in and say, consider your ways. So what does that mean? Why does that try and become stitched into the fabric of life in him? Because when you study the word to show yourself approved, you are hiding that word in the very core of your psyche, that when anything similar to this comes up again, it will leap up out of you, and Yahweh will get glory, and your flesh will be subdued. What does this mean? How does this really function for us? What is our benefit in this? Well, David tried to tell us, I've been in the woods, I've been a shepherd, I've killed a lion, a tiger, and a bear, or a lion and a bear. I've also killed a Goliath. At the end of the day, I have been with my nation as a hero and my same nation as an outlaw. I have been with my enemy as a friend and my enemy as a despicable degenerate. So David is saying, in all of my circumstances, I have kept the word near me to help me work, and you're going to love this, walk it out. So Paul doesn't preach. Watch this. Yeshua doesn't preach the life of the kingdom. They live it. Now, this is where I fall short all the time. I can preach this gospel well. I mean, I'm pretty decent at it. There's greater than me, I'm sure, somewhere. Everybody has your own preferences. But what I am learning in my older years, and I've got a birthday coming up tomorrow, so I'm reflecting and introspecting on a lot of things and places and times and sentiments and issues and complaints and struggles and compliments and different challenges and successes and going back over life and wondering what would one change, what would one desire to enhance. In this process, I'm realizing that as well as I know the word, and baby, I know this word well, I'm finding out that the better I know it, the less I understand. Because what I thought I knew while searching it to have something to say to you as a people, because my understanding of preaching the gospel and being a pastor and a leader and a pastor of pastors was always about having something to say that was word-oriented. I didn't realize that it wasn't being word-oriented as far as my vernacular went. It was word-oriented as my lifestyle went. Now, we knew to be saved, you walked away from the old you, walked away from the old sins, walked away from the old proclivities, but our lifestyle, though we hinder ourselves, though we hold and restrict ourselves from those things that are displeasing to the Father, doesn't mean our lifestyle lines up with our newfound verbal confession. And thereby it affects our conviction. And our conviction must be based around a life in Him. Meaning, Psalms chapter walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. When the ungodly's counsel is going to be all around you every day of your life, there's nothing you can do or say about it. Because everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's got something they can say about their secular world and their success within, and you're going to be always subject to listen to something someone has to say. But I want you to realize and embrace that though we err and though we fail and though we falter and though we alter what we are and who we are, I need you to realize and understand that when your life, my life, is found in Him, He keeps us. The problem is we don't always obey the word. Now, when you don't obey the word of Elohim, I need you to realize this. He is waiting to see how you'll function, what you'll do, how you'll embrace being corrected by Him, and then allowing yourself to move forward. In Him, we see how Yeshua lived. Because what Yeshua does also is very interesting. Yeshua allows for Himself to express the fact that I don't feel like doing what I came to do. But if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, that the will of you can be done and performed. People of the Most High, when you are there, as Psalms 91:10 says, when you make Yahweh your strong tower, when you allow Him to be the reason you live, the reason you exist, the reason you have life in your body, and you find Him to be the delight of your life, doesn't mean you won't be able to do the things that the world does and says are fun and exciting and life-giving. But when you make His word, even in your failures, you make His word your reason for existing. He will take you in. He will clean you up. He will give you a new day and a new beginning. Doesn't matter. Your enemies will come after you no matter what. You're always going to have somebody that has got something to say about something you did or some way you performed it or some way it worked out. But what you need to realize is that you have to be hidden in Him. And it becomes their problem. But what Yeshua does is though the people He came to preach to found every reason to find a way to get into that cross, they didn't know that getting into that cross was something that Yahweh Himself would use to bring greater glory and give you and I greater grace that we can withstand and live through our lives today. See, living life in Messiah doesn't mean you won't err. Now, you don't strive to err. Some things can get the best of you and give you opportunity to make wrong choices and wrong decisions. The problem is, and the question is, Will you acknowledge that? Will you own up to what you've done, and will you confess it to the Father? When you live in him, you will confess your sin to the Father. And the Father says, if you confess to him, not to man, you don't confess your sins to man, people of the Most High. I've done some things I wish God I could return. I wish, Yahweh, I could just take time and turn back the hands of time and fix the decisions that I've made. But we can we? None of us can. You can't get time back, and you can't get back the words you said. But I want you to realize, when you confess of your sins, the Bible declares that Yahweh is faithful and he is just to forgive you, and he will cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. But your heart has to be sincere towards him. It has to be earnest towards him. It has to be what he is requiring of you to do. I hope that this makes sense today, because we got a great, great amount of life that is in the Messiah that many of us have never experienced or encountered. Now, here's the catch. Watch this closely. Life in him. Back to Psalms chapter 91. This is important. Back to Psalms chapter 91. I want you to see this, because this is where it gets good. Psalms 91:10. He says, because you have made Yahweh, which is your refuge. See, many of us don't realize that Yahweh wants to be our refuge. You as a child of the Most High, you that have mothers who have just had Mother Day celebration, when your child makes a mistake, you don't crucify them. You don't kill them. You teach them. You make them learn from that they might know when you're not around what is acceptable and not acceptable in the society in which you live. Yahweh does the same for us. When we make errors based on the Torah, we make errors based on the Ten Commandments, and we sin, as we say. We lie, we murmur, we steal, we cheat, we cuss, we fuss, we anger, we judge, we gossip, we talebear, we murder our brother with our mouths, whatever it might be, Yahweh will forgive. And when he forgives, he shows us what we've done so that we don't do that again. Question is, will you keep doing it? And if you do, the Bible declares that your job is to repent for your sins. Now, you don't want to get caught out there, because there will come a time when there are some things that Yahweh will say, hey, you know, if he turns you over to a reprobate mind, that means you don't even have salvation anymore. That's an interesting thing. So that'll mess with a lot of my other theologians who believe that once saved, always saved. But when you are in him, when you are a parent, when you are a father or a mother, and your son or your daughter errors, they have a life in your family that you will always protect them, you will always cover them, you will always help them fix their mess. You will deal with them about their mess, but you will make sure that they live through it to live and see another day. You don't kill them, you don't behead them, you don't gut them, you don't stone them, as they say. You help them realize their errors, and you do that within you, and then Yahweh gets glory out of you. So the life in him, part three, deals with living life in him, and the life that we live in him must be conducive towards him. All of this is pertinent. All of this is significant. All of this, every last drop of the life you have comes from him, so it needs to be given back to him, that we all can live for him. I don't know how this leaves you or makes you think or makes you feel, but when you are in him, look at Psalms 91:3 again. It tells us, he that dwells in the secret place. Look, don't let anybody browbeat you and push you down into a corner and make you feel as if you're the worst thing in the world. I don't know about you, but when I sin and I mess up and I err, my heart and my soul is so grieved, and all I want to do is make it right with the Father. And when I finally get to that place where I can just bow down in his presence and confess my faults, confess my error, my sins to him, and then know he cleansed me in his blood and purifies me and says, son, here is my ring, here is my slippers, here is my robe, you're in me now. you are protected in me now. And the thing about it is, anything that tries to get you, once I've redeemed you, woe unto it, woe unto that. And so the thing is, like Moshe says, Father, don't kill him. I need you to save him, if anything. So when we ourselves are in him, our compassions change. Our outlooks change. Our perceptions change. And we become forgiving ourselves of those that we probably don't want to forgive. And then we become compassionate. We also become, watch this, even more important than compassionate, we become convicted to see that salvation can reign in the hearts of every single human being on the planet. Now, Apostle, you went from talking about living in him to repentance and all this, because you can't live in him unless you let him live in you. And that's where we go back to Paul's statement. Study not to have something to say, but study so you can work the word out. And listen, I'm a prime example. It is a work always that will be in progress. Don't forget it. Living in him is an everyday walk. And don't let anybody bring you into condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, in Yeshua HaMashiach. So don't let anybody bring you into condemnation about what you did in your past or what is perceived you did in the past. Just make sure you stay away from your past and you walk in Messiah. And Messiah covers you, he honors you, he loves you, he redeems you. But he does require you to repent, turn from that way. And even if you should go back, I mean, I keep going back to this ice cream. I keep telling you about my vanilla bean ice cream fetish, or rather my chunky monkey ice cream fetish. And my doctor keeps telling me I got to get my LDLs and my HDLs down. And I keep consuming this ice cream. And when I go back, my levels are not where they're supposed to be. And they're like, what are you doing? Well, I did have some. Do you need to leave that chunky monkey alone? And so I'm not going to have any any other seller. I'm learning to stay away from it. But like that, even your doctor still helps you to get your life back because they realize you're going to live. But know how to live. Know what it means that if you continue to consume that chunky monkey ice cream, don't expect your LDLs and HDLs to be where they're supposed to be. That's cholesterol. Don't expect your hearts not to receive some plaque on them. Granted, Yahweh will and can heal you, but you got to give it all up for him. And in the process, you're a work in progress. Don't let anybody browbeat you down or anybody hunt you down and hold you down because they think you should be doing something their way. You don't live on this earth for them. You live on this earth for Yahweh. So therefore, remember this. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that's in Messiah, his word. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh my Elohim, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my Elohim, he is my God, in him will I trust. Look at this. There shall no evil befall you in that place, and there shall no plague come nigh your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone. Listen, verse 14 says, because you set your love upon me, I will deliver you, says the I am that I am. I will set you on high because you have known my name. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you, says the I am. I will be with you in trouble, says the I am that I am. And I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? That him is you and I. Know the name of Yahweh. Know the name of Elohim. Know and understand his intentions for you to function in the earthen realm. Don't ever live in fear. And remember, with Elohim on your side, he is more than the whole world against you. Well, We got a lot more to discuss on this. I hope you'll tune back in on the next broadcast. We've got some announcements very quickly you need to be aware of. And on the 24th, you will be coming into contact with what's known as Shavuot. That's right. That will be Sivan 6. That's the Hebrew calendar, Sivan. The sixth day is the day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. It starts at Friday, that Saturday, at sundown. That's going to be on May 23rd. It starts at sundown Saturday, 7 p.m. EST, or 8:04, actually, Eastern Standard Time anyway. Begins Shavuot. You please take those 2 days, the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th, and just give them to Yahweh. And wait in that upper room. And he'll do for you, I believe, what he did in the book of Acts. The power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and your life, and it will never, ever be the same. Well, I love you. I love you in Yahweh. I love you all, no matter who you are. And I pray for you that salvation and his grace and his empowerment keeps you in all of your ways. May you remember to forgive, because we're all going to need forgiveness one day. As you forgive your debts, Yahweh will forgive your debts. As you forgive your people who've offended you, Yahweh will forgive you when you offend others. Remember, he loves you. He loves you a lot more than I do. I love you a whole lot, and I thank you for tuning in. Hope that you'll continue to tune in and be a part of this program. Go become a partner with VWJ Ministries by going to vwjministries.com and considering becoming a partner with us. We'll look forward to hearing from you in the very near future. Until we get a chance to meet again, we say to you, Shalom.
The Bible declares, forsake not your assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today and join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway, right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city and we'd like for you to join us, we want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team and ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.